or possibly with cold, and was nearly as pale as the glaciers that rumbled past below them. Kanina sighed. "Well, just how do you think?" she began. "Take me down somewhere a few minutes ahead of them," said Nigel. "I really don't see how that would help." "I wasn't asking your opinion," said Nigel quietly. "Just do it. Put me down a little way ahead of them, so I've got a while to get sorted out." "Get what sorted out?" Nigel didn't answer. "I said," said Kanina, "get what?"
"Shut up!"
"I don't see what..." "Look," said Nigel, with the patience that lies just short of axe murdering. "The ice is going to cover the whole world, right? Everyone's going to die, okay? Except us for a little while, I suppose, until these horses want their oats or the lavatory or whatever, which isn't much use to us, except maybe Creosote will just about have time to write a sonnet or something about how cold it is all of a sudden, and the whole of human history is about to be scraped up, and in these circumstances I would like very much to make it completely clear that I am not about to be argued with. Is that absolutely understood?" He paused for breath, trembling like a harp string. Kanina hesitated, her mouth opened and shut a few times as though she was considering arguing, and then she thought better of it. They found a small clearing in a pine forest a mile or two ahead of the herd, although the sound of it was clearly audible, and there was a line of steam above the trees, and the ground was dancing like a drum top. Nigel strolled to the middle of the clearing and made a few practice swings with his sword. The others watched him thoughtfully.
"If you don't mind," whispered Creosote to Kanina, "I'll be off. It's at times like this that sobriety loses its attractions, and I'm sure the end of the world will look a lot better through the bottom of a glass, if it's all the same to you. You believe in paradise, oh peach-cheeked blossom?"
"Not as such, no."
"Oh," said Creosote. "Well, in that case, we probably won't be seeing each other again," he sighed. "What a waste. All this just because of a gears. Of course, if by some unthinkable chance..."
"Goodbye," said Kanina. Creosote nodded miserably, wheeled his horse and disappeared over the treetops. Snow was shaking down from the branches around the clearing. The thunder of the approaching glaciers filled the air. Nigel started when she tapped him on the shoulder and dropped his sword. "What are you doing here?" he snapped, fumbling desperately in the snow.
"Look, I'm not prying or anything," said Kanina meekly, "but what exactly do you have in mind?"
She could see a rolling heap of bulldozed snow and soil bearing down on them through the forest, the mind-numbing sound of the leading glaciers now overlaid with the rhythmic snapping of tree trunks. And advancing implacably above the tree line, so high that the eye mistook them at first for sky, the blue-green prows.
"Nothing," said Nigel, "nothing at all. We're just going to resist them, but that's all there is to it. That's what we're here for."
"But it won't make any difference," she said. "It will to me. If we're going to die anyway, I'd rather die like this, heroically."
"Is it heroic to die like this?" said Kanina.
"I think it is," he said. "And when it comes to dying, there's only one opinion that matters."
"Oh."
A couple of deer blundered into the clearing, ignored the humans in their blind panic, and rocketed away.
"You don't have to stay," said Nigel. "I've got this gears, you see."
Kanina looked at the back of her hands.
"I think I should," she said. And added, "You know, I thought maybe, you know, if we could just get to know one another better."
"Mr. and Mrs. Harebutt is what you had in mind?" he said bluntly. Her eyes widened.
"Well," she began.
"Which one did you intend to be?" he said.
The leading glacier smashed into the clearing just behind its bow wave, its top lost in a cloud of its own creation. At exactly the same time, the trees opposite it bent low as a hot wind blew from the rim. It was loaded with voices, petulant, bickering voices, and tore into the clouds like a hot iron into water. Kanina and Nigel threw themselves down into the snow, which turned to warm slush under them. Something like a thunderstorm crashed overhead, filled with shouting and what they at first thought were screams, although, thinking about them later, they seemed more like very angry arguments. It went on for a long time and then began to fade in the direction of the hub. Warm water flooded down the front of Nigel's vest. He lifted himself cautiously and then nudged Kanina. Together they scrambled through the slush and mud to the top of the slope, climbed through a logjam of smashed timber and boulders, and stared at the scene. The glaciers were retreating, under a cloud stuffed with lightning. Behind them, the landscape was a network of lakes and pools.